I just read a news item about how older generations are significantly more likely to answer the door for a stranger than younger generations. As a representative of the baby boomer generation, opening the door for strangers certainly applies to me, at least if my personal history is any indication. In the summer of 1991 or 92, while Russ was out of town for a scientific meeting, about 11 p.m., when my kids were sound asleep and I had just put on my jammies, there was a loud knock at the front door. I could see out the living room window that it was two men, pretty dirty, wearing sleeveless t-shirts. Their eyes were red-rimmed and they looked unsteady. I presumed they'd been drinking, but one looked vaguely familiar, so I grabbed a robe and opened the door to see what they wanted. The reason the one looked familiar is that he'd been on a construction crew digging the foundation for the addition on our house. While they were on the job, I'd been rehabbing four baby blue jays who frequently sat in a back window watching the backhoe, their little heads going back and forth as the bucket moved exactly the way we depict people's heads moving in unison during a tennis match. The workmen were charmed. Now this one and his friend had spent the day fishing and, yes, drinking. On their drive home, they'd hit an owl and pulled over to try to help it. They told me it didn't look too hurt and they didn't know what else to do, so they brought it to me. I didn't normally treat hawks or owls, but I could certainly keep it overnight and get it to the Raptor Center the next day. So I went out to their pickup with them to get it. I don't know how many beers it takes to cloud your mind enough to forget that a closed cooler is not the best place to put a living creature if you want to keep it that way. When they opened the top, there it was, a gorgeous great horned owl, suffocated, its body still warm. Now I was dealing with a dead owl and two drunks on a crying jag. There was nothing I could do for the bird, but we sat down on the porch steps for a while as I tried to console the humans. They felt abysmally guilty, even as I assured them that it could be almost impossible to avoid an owl flying in at windshield height from the side on a dark forested road. I reassured them that they'd done the best they could, but they were still sniffing forlornly when they left. As a rehabber, I had a salvage permit and normally would have brought the bird to the University Museum. But I was also my daughter's Brownie troop leader. At the time, the Brownie and Girl Scout handbooks were dreadful when it came to nature study, offering nothing close to my son's Cub Scout Weeblos activities, much less the Boy Scout bird study merit badge requirements that I'd helped several Boy Scout troops with. But the Girl Scouts did allow troops to earn special project badges on approval from the area Girl Scout Council, and I was in the process of designing a special bird study badge for my troop. I got the go-ahead from the Girl Scout office for us to dissect the owl as one component of our special badge. I never told the girls exactly how the bird died, just that it had been hit by a car. I couldn't forget dissecting the owl, even if I wanted to, because I wrote about it in my first book. Here's what I wrote. My Brownie troop dissects a great horned owl that was brought to me dead. I'm required to bring carcasses to the university, but the curator lets me use this one for teaching. I'm allergic to feathers. My sneezing shoots them everywhere. Before I pick up a scalpel, we look like we're in a bizarre pillow fight. We talk about how sad we feel when birds die. If this owl had been left on the road, a scavenging raccoon or crow might also have been hit. We study talons, eyes, and pull back feathers to reveal enormous ears. Two girls draw back when I make the first cut, but most crowd in. We slice through huge pectoral muscles and saw away at the keel. The liver is discolored from the car's impact. The heart looks like a chicken heart. we trace the digestive system. When the bird is a hollow shell, we finally see lungs way in back, interspersed with ribs. I stick a straw down the trachea and blow, inflating air sacs like balloons, but the lungs stay flat. My brownies know more about owls than they ever hoped to and are pleased and proud of themselves. Not one girl threw up. That was from For the Birds, an Uncommon Guide, and I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.